Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow, you washed me. Whiter than snow. Make your presence known to all here in a more intimate way than ever before.
Amen, yes.
May this message impact our hearts and draw us closer to the one who really loves us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, that's right on the money. We didn't talk. He didn't know I was going to ask him to pray, but just the Lord's seal of approval, his affection, his acceptance and love being placed upon you and I. That would never have been possible without the blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sin and the cleansing of the original temple. You know that tabernacle in the Old Testament's three parts. Outer, middle, inner. Guess how many parts you are? Three. So, Father, thank you for all you're doing and all you're saying to us. Okay, let's take our Bibles this morning as we get into the Word. If you use a Bible app instead of the Bible, you can hold that up. That'll work just as well. Let's say this together. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am sealed with the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I am loved, approved, empowered, and authorized to represent God. Amen. Within 30 minutes, I'll have to calm you down when you recognize what the Lord is going to bring forth today. We're continuing our brand new series, All Things New. We're just celebrating the incredible restoration work of Jesus Christ and flipping the script that Adam and Eve had laid out for us. We want you to be able to see this morning how God's Word, not Steve, God's Word will contrast the magnitude of what Christ has done to the mistake of Adam. If you are new to Grace Church, we're honored that you're here and so glad that you're here and hope that you enjoy just the presence of the Lord and, of course, walk with Him every single day. We left the series Origins a couple of weeks ago after the fall of man. Origins was Genesis 1 through Genesis 3. And we looked at the results of sin. Mankind was left kind of in the dust after the fall of man. We were self-conscious. We were isolating ourselves from God. We were fearful. We were hiding from God. We started playing the blame game. Remember, Adam blamed Eve and Eve blamed the snake. And then we had conflict and competition between husband and wife. Those were all results of what happened in the garden. But thanks be to God, the fall of man is not the end of the story. Genesis 3 is not the end of the book. There is more to see and be revealed. So let's go to Revelation 21, verse 1. I saw a new heaven and earth. You know, we read the front of the book. Now we're reading the back of the book. New heaven and earth, the first heaven and earth passed away. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared, look at this, as a bride adorned for her husband. Who's the bride of Christ? We are. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, dwelling place of God is where? With men, and he'll dwell with them, and he'll be, they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them, and he will be their God. And then verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear. There'll be no more death, sorrow, crying, no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That should sound familiar. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, said, behold, I make all things new. Bible drill, 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Where? In Christ. You're either in Adam or in Christ. Don't let the world fool you. They think there's a bunch of races. There's only two. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your background is. In Christ or in Adam. Those are the two places. And then let's go to Romans 5:14, Good News Translation. Romans 5:14, from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, death ruled over all human beings, even over those who didn't sin in the same way Adam did when he disobeyed God's command. Adam was actually a figure of the one who was to come. But the two are not the same. Come on, somebody, right here we go. The two are not the same because God's free gift is not like Adam's sin. It is true that many people died because of the sin of the one man, Adam, but God's grace is much greater. The Bible is contrasting the power of God, the risen Christ, with the fall of man, and one of them's greater, people. One of them's greater. God's grace is much greater, and so is His free gift to so many through the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ. The undeserved, that should say, what one said as guilty, the undeserved gift came and said, not guilty. And there's a difference between God's gift and the sin of the one man. After the one sin, oh, here it is, came the judgment of guilty, but after so many sins, the undeserved gift of not guilty. It is true that through the sin of one man, death began to rule because of that one man. But how much greater is the result of what was done by the one man, Jesus Christ? Here it is again. How much greater? Everybody say it with me. How much greater is the result of what was done by Jesus Christ? All who receive God's abundant grace and are freely put right with Him will what? Rule in life through Christ. Above, not beneath. Head, not the tail. Ruling over circumstances and people and situations and the media and the news stations. Not under their influence, but above their influence. Not subject to the influence of Adam or the world or the old man, but under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Prophetically speaking, let me tell you what's happening. The new man is emerging. The new you is emerging. As we begin to get into this series, you're going to see who you really are in Christ. And the voice of the old nature and the old Adam is going to get quieter and quieter. And the voice of who you are in Christ is going to get louder and louder, and the new creation will emerge. Because Jesus said Himself, behold, I make all things new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. A few new things have come. No, that's not what it says. It says, behold, how many things? All things have become new. So if you start thinking correctly, identifying yourself correctly, you'll start behaving correctly. In other words, your outward behavior will start lining up with your inward identity. You need to identify yourself not as a sinner that God just signed off on who's still lost in Adam. No, you're not. You're clean. You're close. You're righteous in Christ. You're walking and talking with your papa, where Danny go, every day. Father God, every day, I'm walking and talking with Him. I'm a new creation in Christ. How about this one? He says, put off now concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Literally the demeanor, the attitude of your mind. Be new there and put on the new man, which was created according to God. Look at that. In true righteousness and holiness. Your new man is truly righteous and truly holy. And the more He emerges, the more the new you comes forth, then the more the old man in Adam is subdued and disappears. Write this one down, 1 John 3:8. Well, I might have it for you. Look, there it is. The reason the Son of God was made manifest was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Can I get a witness? One of the works of the devil was the fall of man. From our position and condition with Father God, where we were created as God's partners, as literally His spiritual offspring, perfectly made because we had an earth suit so we could touch the earth, but we were born of our Father's Spirit, so we had a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit, thought-to-thought communication with the God who lives in the unseen realm. Perfectly made as His partner to extend His glory and His goodness throughout the earth. Well, then the enemy came, we got tricked, we fell, and God decides to initiate a plan to restore and make all things new, including our fellowship with God and God's original plan and purpose. Let me tell you something. Man's greatest cause right now in America is not social justice or climate change. The cause is recapturing the plans and the purposes and the identity we have in our Father. That's what man needs in America. Amen. Three of you agree. Praise God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 20. You can read that on your own. I don't have time today. But he moved us from, Christ moved us from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. And when we were transferred out of darkness and into light, then all of Satan's power against you was gone. Amen. Satan has no power over you anymore. Don't listen to religion. Religion will lie to you. Satan doesn't have any power over you. Now, can he trick you? Can he deceive you? Can he mislead you? Can you give him power? Yes, you can. But because you've been translated out from under the dominion of darkness, Adam, and placed into Christ, he has no power over you except to try to lie to you. That's why the truth will make you free. You'll live in the reality of your freedom. You believing the truth doesn't make it true. It's already true. Why not believe it? You believing the truth allows you to start experiencing the freedom that Jesus Christ taught and told us about, that if we would be one with the truth, that we'd be free people. The word restoration in the Webster's Dictionary means to bring back to an original position or condition. That we get to return to our original position, condition, or identity. So can I say again, what was that original position and condition? God's personal offspring. He created the seen realm, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe. He created it for the sole purpose of colonizing it with his kids. That he would give us this earth suit, but he would breathe his spirit. God is spirit. Can I get a witness on that? Okay, God's spirit. So he puts that spirit in the container of his own offspring that we would colonize, fill the earth with his goodness and his glory. That was the plan. And then, of course, we stumbled and fell. But Jesus comes to restore our original position and condition. Look at this handy dandy thing I have. Look at this. Thank you, Brother Walter. He got that for me. But I'm going to use it as my analogy. Do you remember the pen analogy? So here's Adam and Eve. Here we are in original intent. God creates us and places us here. This is where we are. And then this happens. We fell. The fall of man, your Bible calls it. Okay, now, can we, as this pen, get ourselves up here? Are we going to be religious and try to score enough points to get ourselves up there? God called our righteousness filthy rags. It's no good, okay? So, what has to happen? Well, Jesus got to come down here and pick us up and put us back here. We can't get ourselves there. He's going to do it. So, if Jesus did the restoring and not you, then why don't we believe it's sufficient? Amen. Selah. Think about it. Selah. If Jesus did the restoring of Steve, why can't Steve fathomed that it was sufficient? Okay. Now, I want you to get a hold of the definition of restoration is original positioning condition. He did not restore you right here. This is what religion did to us. Religion said, oh no, you're just a sinner saved by grace. You're a worm. There's hymns to prove it. You're just a worm. I mean, you're no good. You're an old sinner. The prodigal had this problem. The prodigal thought, there's no way I can be a son again. Luke 15, right? Father, put me in the bunkhouse. I'm not worthy to be a son. I've sinned against you and against heaven. So just put me and make me as a slave. What did his dad decide? Total what? Total restoration. He ran to him with a signet ring, which means you can represent me. You belong to me. You're my offspring. Put this ring on. We're family. And then he brought him a robe, and then he gave him sandals, which was really huge because slaves didn't have shoes, only family members did. So he gave him his shoes back. Total restoration. He didn't restore us up here either. He didn't restore us to heaven. The Christian life is not about dying and going to heaven, people. You didn't fall from heaven. You fell from your leadership position in the earth. You fell from your partnership with God's Spirit in the earth here to take dominion and extend his influence. Amen, somebody. It's not about going up to heaven. We got duped. Sign this card, Jonathan. Get baptized. And when you're dead, you can go to heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm battling depression. That's okay. When you're dead and you're in heaven, you won't be depressed. Like the greatest day is the day he dies. He fell from his leadership position in the earth. So the Lord's saying, hey, I'm going to reverse the curse, Jonathan, and I'm going to bring the Spirit of God and the Spirit of your father and dominion and authority and validation and acceptance. I'm going to bring it back and place my seal back upon you. But I can't do it until somebody worthwhile comes and pays the price for the initial sin. I can't do it. I can't come live inside you. I can't put my seal of approval upon you until the blood cleanses you. Yeah, Jesus, our best friend. Amen. Go ahead and give Jesus a hand because he's the one who did it. He's the second Adam, but he was actually here before Adam. And Adam, the first Adam, was made in the likeness of Jesus. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So Adam was just fashioned after Jesus. And then Adam fell, and Jesus said, you know what? They're down there. Let me go down there, Dad. I'll do it. I'll do it, and I'll put them back here. What a nasty cup, though. What a nasty cup he had to drink. Did he balk at it? He did. He said, Father, if this cup can pass from me, tell me now, is there some other way to make this right? Because I've seen what's going to happen at Golgotha, and it ain't pretty. I've seen it. And so he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done. Just the opposite of Adam and Eve, who said, not your will, Father, our will be done. Tricked in emulating Lucifer, who said the same thing. I'll be like the Most High without the Most High. I'll exalt my own will over God's will. But Jesus comes, and he pays the price so that the Spirit of God can return to us and our sonship be restored. More on that later. Let me make sure. Oh, there's one other thing. Can I tell you something else you didn't fall from? You didn't fall from an hour on Sunday. If anybody in this room thinks Adam and Eve were like, man, I tell you, this walking with God stuff is great. I see him every Sunday for about an hour. I talk to him. He tells me stuff. I pray. I tell him everything I need because I'm scared to death, you know? I mean, God, please fix this so I can be happy. God, please fix everything outside of me so I can have peace. Peace is inside. It's inside by the Spirit. And you take peace to the natural realm. You don't beg your Father to please fix everything outside of me so I can feel good inside.
Amen.
Right. Amen. So you didn't fall. You didn't fall from an hour on Sunday. Adam and Eve walked and talked with God every day. Can I submit something to you? I bet you that your Father in heaven wants to show you as much or more tomorrow than he's showing you right now. I bet he wants to show you as much or more on Tuesday as he's showing you right now. If you think it's an hour on Sunday, religion has blinded you. Did you know? Scripture doesn't even call you a Christian. Pagans called us that. And Scripture doesn't call you a church member. It sure doesn't call you a church member. Scripture calls you a son or daughter of the Most High God, a citizen of your Father's kingdom, here to represent him in the earth. And when you understand that you have rights and privileges, John chapter 1 verse 12, because I've received Christ, I've been placed in Christ, I now have the right to be God's child. That means I have the right, the privilege, and the authorization to change things in this world that I've been putting up with. Too many people pray prayers like church members. You're not a church member! You're an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven. And the Spirit has been given back to you. Thanks to Jesus Christ. He will be your best friend by the time you walk out of here. Because ain't one of us going to be reconciled to God without him. It wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. And his blood allowed the return of the Spirit, your seal, your validation, the Father's ownership, his acceptance of you to return to you. Thanks be to Jesus. Give him praise. Amen. He deserves it. He deserves it. You've been restored. You're a son or daughter of the living God. You've been restored by the life and the very blood of Jesus Christ. So stand in it. Stand in Christ. Live and abide with Jesus every day. Look at this one. God's more interested in you standing in Christ, in his presence daily, with your face unveiled before him. You are his bride. You can go ahead and unveil your face. He sees your stuff anyway. I know you got stuff. We all got stuff, but he unveiled your face. Stand before the Father in his love for you. Stand with an unveiled face. He's much more interested in you standing with him in his love than he is you standing in an hour-long worship service bored. That's religion. Well, it's Sunday. I guess we'll go to church and shake the preacher's hand so he knows I was there. You see what I'm saying? God wants you standing before him in his love every day. Walk and talk with him. That's what Adam and Eve had. It wasn't an hour on Sunday. My goodness. Amen, somebody. You think God gets thrilled when all over Oklahoma on Sunday morning people are standing there, standing bored, like they don't even know him, and yet somehow it counts? None of this is in my notes, so you have to talk to him about it. I don't know. In Adam's origin, Adam and Eve walking and talking with God every single day, they didn't have a mediator. Some people come to church and they're like, I'm going to stand here and worship because I'm so bored until my favorite worship leader plays my favorite song. Then, now I'm locked in. There's no mediator in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve walked and talked with the Spirit of the living God in the cool of the day, the breeze, the wind of the Spirit every day. Spirit to spirit, thought to thought, heart to heart, son. Amen. That's what Christ got us restored. You see how religion messed that up? Religion painted a weird picture for us. Oh yeah, no mediator. And then Hebrews chapter 8 lists the five terms of the new covenant contract between God and mankind. And the third term is, no man shall have to teach his brother saying, know the Lord. Everyone will know me from the least to the greatest. No more mediator. No more hierarchy. I want to say something to shock you, and I'm glad it will. Do you realize when you figure out you're actually a son of the living God, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you're an ambassador and a representative, a global representative of the nation of heaven, being a pastor is a step down. Who cares if my title is pastor, apostle, evangelist, teacher? Who cares? I'm a son of the Most High God, the God of the universe. That's who I am. And that's who you are. My goodness. I told you I have to calm you down once you start figuring it out. But no, we're like, oh, that guy, boy, he's really something. Hey, you either got access to God through Jesus or you ain't got access. We all got the same access. Billy Graham, same access. Pope John Paul, same access. I don't care who it is or what it is. You're either coming to God in Christ or you ain't coming. Amen. We can't be like him without him. So he's going to return to us, and then he's going to, Jesus said, hey, it's better I go away because I'm going to send the Spirit to you. Same Spirit that's in me, a validation, acceptance as a son, is coming back to you. So we're starting to identify ourselves correctly and seeing who we are in Christ. You know, something that's on our heart, church, is planting other churches. Like, Lord, do you want other Grace Church presence in other towns? Why does that mean anything to us? Because if you understand the love of Christ, he wants every human to know him. And no town should be without Jesus anywhere, ever. So Lord, you want kingdom outposts wherever, then so be it. And are we equipped to do it? Sure we are. Any one of you, if you really know what's being taught here, any one of you can be dropped off in any city in the world. You begin walking and talking with Jesus. You start building spiritual family. You start invoking the Holy Spirit over the town. And then you build community and start advancing the kingdom of God together. Any one of you could do it. Well, I don't have a 501c3. Who cares? We thought a 501c3 was the stamp of approval. The Holy Spirit is the stamp of approval, not the 501c3. Woo! So if you got the Spirit, you can minister. If you've got the Spirit, you can minister. Boy, he's killing the sacred cows today. He's killing them. He's just shooting them in the head. Everybody say, I got it. All right, so let's talk about the vehicle he uses to make all things new. The vehicle Jesus uses to make all things new. Romans chapter 8, Verse 14 through 19. Come on, Holy Ghost, help me out supernaturally with time. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. For you didn't receive the spirit of bondage that led to fear. You received the spirit of adoption. Adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. If God is your Father, then He's going to seal you with the Holy Spirit that allows you, gives you authorization and representation. Because you're His offspring. That sounds way better than being a church member. I'm talking about being deputized and stamped by the Spirit of God that you belong to Him. That has way more authority than a church member. Amen. And we cry out, Daddy God, and we represent Him. We have rights and privileges as God's child. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. We're children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs. Heirs of God. Look at this. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Whatever you saw Him inherit from Dad, you get to inherit. If we indeed suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together, for I consider the sufferings of the present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory. Look at 19, for the earnest expectation of all creation eagerly is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Hello, sons of God. Good morning. Good to see you. Here we are. Here we are. No longer constrained by religion or religious ideas. He's Lord of my heart, not Lord of a day of the week. I love our gathering. I love it. But this is not all there is. This is just where we get together and high five and celebrate what He's doing and then pray for those who've been wounded in battle. Amen. Amen. Then we go right back to it. Creation is groaning, literally waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Everybody say, well, here we are. So Jesus restored you to sonship. If you're not madly in love with Jesus yet, you will be. I mean, the magnitude of what He did is stunning, reversing what Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. Jesus restored you to sonship, ambassadorship, joint heirship, partaker of God's divine natureship. How'd He do it? By the Spirit. You're a royal priesthood, holy nation, light of the world. You're without blame before God and His love for you. How do you do it? By the Spirit. Leadership, development, and dominion begins when you discover who you really are in Christ. Leadership, development, and assignment, and dominion begins when you know who you are and that you're loved by God. And He sets His seal upon you. That's when it begins. No wonder the church is just farming around all the time. The church doesn't even know who we are. We think we're church members. God destined you for impact. He gave you His name, His Son, His Spirit, His Word, His Kingdom. And then He set His seal of approval upon you by the Holy Spirit. Look at John chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus is speaking and He said, I'm going to give you some food that you need to eat that's everlasting because God the Father has set His seal upon the Son of Man. God the Father set His seal upon Jesus. Do you think anybody could tell Jesus was born of God? How? The Father set His seal upon Him. Now this word seal, you can look it up in Strong. Super easy. It connotes signet ring. It connotes authorization. It connotes validation and acceptance. It connotes ownership. This is my beloved Son. How do we know? He set His seal upon Him. All right, well, I want to know what the seal is then. What's the seal? I'm glad you asked. Ephesians 1:13. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. The same word seal in John 6:27 is mentioned in Ephesians 1:13. Talking about you. You having believed were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You've been sealed. And it's not because you signed a card and joined a church. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit that was promised. You've been sealed. What does it connote? Ownership, validation, authorization, acceptance, sonship. How do we know Stacy is a daughter of God? Oh, because she reads the Bible. Wrong. Because the Lord has set His seal of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God's Spirit is upon her. And we see the fruit of the Spirit's activity. We see love without condition, joy despite circumstances, peace that passes all understanding. That's how we know. Now, I'm going to show you when he validated Jesus. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, they're all being water baptized. It came to pass Jesus was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens opened. So he comes up out of the water. The heavens opened. Which dimension? Heaven opened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Two worlds simultaneously to work together. That the authorization comes from the Spirit and the unseen, and then it's demonstrated in the seen. And God begins to lord and rule over the natural realm. The whole reason he created planet Earth and the sun, moon, and stars is to colonize it with spiritual children. So it came to pass, Jesus was baptized and heaven opened, and look who came out! The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, "You are my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased." And he set his seal upon Christ. Validation, sonship, ownership, possession. I'm with you. You're mine and I'm yours. Guess what verse 23 says? Guess what it says? And Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry. Child of God, water baptism, seal of the Holy Spirit, filled. He's endued with power by the Holy Spirit. What comes after that? Ministry. Ministry. Why is the church so full of religion and deadheads? Because we don't have the infilling of the Holy Spirit to minister and represent God. You can't be like God without God. He had to bring the Spirit back. Guess what happened in the garden after the fall? The kingdom of heaven, the government of heaven, revoked the Spirit from Adam and Eve until such time as one would come, be worthy enough to pay the price for sin, a second Adam, and then the Holy Spirit would be given back to mankind. And he would live within us again, in us again. See, in the Old Testament, we see pinches and sprinkles. The Old Testament's, he's there, and the Holy Spirit is there, but he's limited. We don't see outpouring in the Old Testament after the fall. We see pinches and sprinkles. He came upon Samson, gave him supernatural strength to perform an assignment, then he left. He never moved inside Samson. He never gave him a new heart. Samson never got born again. He came upon Elijah, work a miracle, and then move on. I believe the Spirit would come upon certain men in the Old Testament. But it was limited. No new creation. And then Ezekiel 36, 26, it's prophesied that there was coming a day that God would put his Spirit back inside of humankind. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, check this out. Man, I'm getting a workout. Amen. In the last days, here comes this prophet. The Spirit of the Lord would come upon prophets and they would prophesy. Look what this one did. He said, in the last days, God's saying, I'll pour out my Spirit on all mankind. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. In other words, we're including everybody. Everybody can have the Spirit of God. Not pinches and sprinkles. Once the blood is shed, once the second Adam undoes what the first one does, I'm giving the Spirit back to you with both hands. We can't sit on our hands and go to church and be church members. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, given a dominion mandate to fill the earth with his glory and his love. Even on the male and female servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in those days, says the Lord. He goes on to talk about the day of the Lord. Who's the Lord? The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Let the Bible interpret the Bible. So the day of the Spirit would come. And because of Christ and the remission of all sin, through one offering. Remember, when he died, you and I died. We were crucified with him. And Adam was put to death. Woo! I need oxygen. Adam was put to death. Now, do we still live in a fallen world? Yes, we do. The physical realm's still under a curse. But I'm not. My spirit man has been reconnected to my dad, my father. And now I've got authorization, validation, love, and acceptance, just like Jesus got. You're my beloved son, Steve, and you I'm well pleased. But Father, I haven't done anything. Doesn't matter. I don't want you doing anything for my approval. I need you to do it from it. I don't want you going out doing anything so I'll love you. Don't do miracles so I'll love you. Let me tell you on the front end, I love you now. No matter what you do, I love you now. Now let's start ministry. Woo! Come on, hallelujah. Child of God, water baptism. I'm telling you, when people start getting saved, we're going to get them water baptized right away. You want to know why? Because Jesus got water baptized. Then we're going to lay hands on them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then ministry can begin. Jesus didn't need to be baptized for remission of sins. He's only doing that to fulfill all righteousness because priests were cleansed before they started ministering. So he's washed for cleansing. Then the Father, man, from Genesis 3 to Matthew 4, Matthew 3, we don't have the Holy Spirit living inside human beings. But then Jesus Christ shows up, goes to the temple and says, your house is empty. God was taking up temporary residence, you know, in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because he loves us so much. He wanted to be among us. He couldn't be in us, but he wanted to be among us. So he'd dwell in the Ark of the Covenant or the temple or the tabernacle. How many parts is the tabernacle? Three. How many parts are you? Three. It's a great picture. Outer court, mid court, inner court. It's you. You're the dwelling place. It was a model of you. And so Jesus says about the temple, your house is left to you desolate. The Spirit of God's not even in there anymore. He's in me. Every ghost of the Holy Ghost was in Jesus. Every ounce of the presence of God, the fullness of the Godhead was in Jesus. There's no record when Jesus is here of the Holy Spirit anywhere else on planet Earth. Every ghost of the Holy Ghost was in Jesus Christ. So we see his fullness. And then what does he do? He's going to be empowered for ministry. We see the demonstration of the dominion of God, that God has more power than sickness does. God has more power than the devil does. So the devils are being evicted everywhere. And what did he say? Hey, if you see me drive out demons by God's Spirit, what came to you? The kingdom of God is back. The kingdom of heaven, dominion is back. God's Spirit is back upon all mankind, not just upon us, but in us and upon us and through us. Hallelujah. It's worth getting excited over. The Holy Spirit is proof of our intimacy with God. His approval, authorization, validation. The Holy Spirit is how we represent God. Because you can't be like God without Him. We must have the Holy Spirit. God's desire has always been to rule the seen from the unseen by living in the unseen part of the seen who's on the scene for Him. So, I'm going to say it again. The government of heaven recalled the Holy Spirit after the fall, removing man's power, God's power, authorization, and representation in and through mankind. The Holy Spirit vacated, took up temporary housing. We were unfit to live in. The word is condemn. Jesus comes and says, there's no condemnation for those who are placed in Christ. Now man can be fit to live in again because the price has been paid for our sin. The second Adam came and undid what the first Adam did. My goodness. The blood and the cross were necessary so the Holy Spirit could reestablish our governmental connection. When you go into Walmart, stop thinking that a church member walked in. Stop thinking one person walked in. When you go to Walmart, a whole nation walked in. Your governmental connection as an ambassador, a representative, a son, an offspring of the living God has been reestablished by the Holy Spirit. Now you have spirit-to-spirit communication, thought-to-thought. Gretchen read the passage. Jesus said, I don't do anything I don't see the Father do. He lived completely dependent on his dad giving him instructions. All four gospels is recorded. John the Baptist said, I'll baptize you with water unto repentance. And that's where most of the church has stopped in America. He said, but there's one coming after me and he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. And we found all kinds of theological ways to explain away the need of the Holy Spirit. But I'm telling you, you can't represent him without him. So Jesus came. Even look at Stacy, my wife Stacy. He comes into her closet. The ministry of the fullness of the Spirit is the ministry of Jesus. He calls her sweet girl. The Spirit of God comes upon her, envelops her, infills her, squeezes her, and lies start shooting out of her mouth that she had believed. And then truth is replaced. The truth replaces all the lie. And what's the manifestation? Freedom. The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, there is liberty and freedom. I pray every day, God, can I please walk in what she's walking in? Because she absolutely refuses to allow external things to influence her. All of her influence comes from within by the power of the Holy Spirit. I would say in and upon. So the blood of Jesus Christ, let's see if this is it. The blood of Jesus made it possible for our spiritual sonship and all it entails to be restored via the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense that nobody in the Old Testament was born again? In Matthew 11:11, Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, but whoever's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because John wasn't even born again. The Spirit of God would just come upon him. But after the shedding of blood in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus goes to the disciples first thing and he breathes on them like God did in the garden. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't come to make you a church member. His goal wasn't even to feed 5,000 or heal lepers. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to get the Spirit of the living God back inside human beings. And he did it. He did it. And if you're not his number one fan, you ought to be now. He did it. You have no hope of reconciliation and restoration in your original mandate and intimacy with God without Jesus Christ intervening. You have no hope of that. So the seal of the Holy Spirit comes upon us where we get intimacy with God, spirit to spirit. It's where we get our identity. Because what did he tell Jesus? You're my beloved son. That's identity. I'm well pleased with you. That's validation and acceptance. All that comes, the stamp is the Holy Spirit. And my goodness, we go around and people say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Okay, what church do you go to? Church has nothing to do with being a Christian. Are you stamped with the Father's seal of approval, the Holy Spirit? Do not waste the blood. The blood is only half the gospel. All throughout Easter week, we're going to hear all about the blood, and rightfully so, but don't waste it. Because the whole reason he went to the blood, the cross was simply necessary. So he could cleanse the tabernacle. That's three parts. And the Spirit of God could move back into the Holy of Holies, your spirit. Amen, somebody. What's up, guys? We idolize Old Testament prophets, but whoever's least in the kingdom in the new creation is greater than the Old Testament prophets. What does that mean? Anybody can be a Daniel. Don't worship Daniel. Spirit of the Lord came upon Daniel. Yay! Spirit of God lives in you. He lives in you. He comes upon you. The Father set his seal upon you. Moses, he was great, but we're in a better covenant with better promises. I'm just quoting scripture to you. Don't you let the devil dumb you down. Don't you let him tell you you're not somebody in the kingdom of God. And I know you're not somebody because of you, but you are somebody because of him. And the most humble thing, and you want to honor Jesus, if you really want to honor him, then you grab a hold of what he made available. Does that make sense? I'm all for worshiping Jesus, and he deserves our love and props, but the greatest way to honor him is accept the Spirit that he died to get back to you. And walk and talk with God every day. Will you stand with me? My goodness. Next week is Resurrection Sunday. I don't know what's going to happen. The power to represent God on the earth lives in dunamis. Dunamis. The power literally means dynamite. Explosive power. The dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we want you filled with the Spirit. Jesus came up. Was he already conceived as the Son of God in Mary's womb? Yes. The Spirit was his dad. He already had conception. But when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove lit upon him. endued him with power for ministry, representation, authorization, and then, the Bible says, he began his ministry. Intimacy, then ministry. Intimacy, then ministry. So the power to represent, though, the power to represent God is in the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. Here it is, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, dunamis in the Greek. And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. My wife was oppressed. Jesus came, manifested himself to her in the closet, released his ministry, a validation and empowerment via the Holy Spirit, and the devil has been on the run ever since. He has no place. And of course, she continues to walk in truth. Amen, somebody. It's not experience to experience. But he anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with dunamis power, and he went about doing good and healing people who were oppressed of the devil. Can I get a witness that there's a few people in the world oppressed of the devil? Well, we've got job security. Plenty of work to be done. Amen? Come on, give God praise in this house. Father, we bless you. We exalt you. Lift your hands with me. Come on, as high as they'll go. Father, thank you that you've set your seal upon us. And Lord, for those of us, maybe we came in today and we weren't acknowledging it, we acknowledge it now. Let the Spirit of the living God, Lord, set your seal of approval, the power of the Holy Spirit upon each of these precious children. Lord, your seal of approval, your authorization, Lord, your validation, your ownership, literally a signet ring. Let it rest upon us once again that we may go forth and deal the devil damaging blows out of our, listen to me, out of our intimacy with you. Because nobody knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. And Lord, you have given us of your Spirit.